Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 25, episode 4 of Darren Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For April 5th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I hit the highway, making money to Miles Gray, but there's gotta be a better way, yeah!
Thank you so much to Chapman Rice, a.k.a. Goddess, for hitting me with that Lil Troy deep cut, a.k.a. for all the people who really know that shit.
She listens to all the same music that, like, I've been listening to for the past 30 years
of my life.
I know,
I'm convinced Chapman Rice might be some kind of Russian, like, algorithm right. That's, like, fucking with us.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by all-time great Daily Zeitgeist guest and hilarious comedian, Yami Lofty.
Jamie
Loftus.
Yummy return.
It's yummy, yeah. Yum.
Return of Jafar. Return of Jami.
Wait, is Return of Jafar like one of those off-brand sequels?
I would actually call it an extremely on-brand sequel.
Oh, my bad.
I used to have a big old crush on Jafar, and so we were watching the Return of Jafar constantly.
Jafar was a stunt queen.
Jafar was straight up gorgeous, very elegant, amazing cheekbones. Mean. I love a meanie. I love a mean, pointy-looking guy.
Also, not a bad leader, though. Beautiful. Like, the town did okay under him, I feel like.
And also, they were making some crazy decisions. You know, the first man who walked into town on an elephant just gets to marry the
yeah.
You know what?
Oh, Jafar, is that how that works?
Jafar did his time. Jafar's like, hey, what about me too, you know? Me too, Jafar.
Me too. Hashtag me too, yes.
Hashtag Jafar as well.
And he's taking over from a guy who's like totally disconnected from his palace. I just feel like he was being responsible.
Jafar's basically Rasputin.
Right, exactly. Right.
He's just like, you know, the resident wizard who just wants a job.
Yeah, and he was definitely fucking the Sultan, right?
For sure. And I feel like the Sultan was just like, you know what? I'm not like, I don't want to give it to you. It was a little mind game.
Jamie, what is something from your search history?
Oh boy, got a lot of searches, so a lot of passive aggressive search history recently. Because of reasons I'll get into later, I was looking up a lot of 3 and 4 letter words.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 letter words, 4 letter words, recent search. How to improve WikiFeet page.
Okay.
I've really been thinking about my score a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did it go up? Because last show you discovered you did, in fact, have a WikiFeet page.
So for the gang who were very kind and were like, but it turned out I already had a WikiFeet page, have for 6 months,
ooh,
didn't know, and had a
4-star.
4 stars.
Yo, 4-star feet.
And then I was really running my mouth about it, and then my rating went up to almost 5 stars. Beautiful.
Ooh.
Feet.
There are no flicks on there, though, right?
No pictures. No one knows my shoe sizes, and I fucking dare you to figure it out.
You know what's funny? I think on the show yesterday or last week when you were here, we're like, oh, we'll put the feet in the pic or whatever. And then a few people were like, yo, where the feet at?
Right. I went to like the deep DMs of Instagram, just like, oh, ooh, people want to see the feet.
They want the feet.
Yeah, I dare. I mean, good luck. Good, because the thing is, the feet, they're bad. But then I went back down to nice as of yesterday, and I was like, oh,
there's levels to the feet.
There's, yeah, like your rating changes, and it's really been affecting my moods.
Wait, so where did you went from what to what?
I started nice. I went up to beautiful for a few days, and I was feeling like, well, I was like, I shoplifted. I was like feeling great. Like,
that's what you do, like, when you feel good.
I can do anything I want.
Thank you for all those D batteries, though, too. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So for everyone who I just gave batteries and Twix eggs to,
yeah.
I shoplifted those when I had beautiful feet. Now I'm back to nice.
Nice.
Now I'm just like, okay.
Now, like, I'm actually going to take the stuff back.
So I was going to, there was a moment where I was like, I could just create a bunch of shell accounts and just make my feet beautiful again. But that's cheating.
That's
so
where it starts.
Yeah.
And then you just go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Of
catfish
just creating
my own feet.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what happened to Tara Reid.
Right. Wait, yeah. Is mm-hmm. that how she got
started
the
fucking with
is?
The fake ass bot accounts, trying to get her foot score up, and look at what happened to her.
Dude, uh-huh. I know.
It's
I know.
True. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, actually, follow up thought. Treating people based on the state of your WikiFeet's account. Because I saw a friend yesterday, like right after I saw my rate, because I've been compulsively checking it.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to all my OCD heads who love to refresh a page. That's my favorite page to refresh right now. And when I saw it went down to nice, I like got lunch with my friend right after, and I realized in the middle, I was like, I'm being kind of aggressive and a little mean to my dear friend. And she was just like, "Gee, are you like okay? Is everything going fine?" And I was just like, I think I'm upset because someone said my feet were ugly and I can't figure out who it is. And I can't. And it's really hard to create an account. So I was rude to one of my oldest friends because people are being and I would say that that's underrated and a very funny way to mood ring your own life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't want to trigger you, but have you looked at the spread of your ratings and where you lie, where people's opinions
are? People have strong opinions.
I know, because you have two ugly ratings, two votes for ugly.
Okay.
Miles.
Two for
what
nice.
What are you doing, Miles?
And five for beautiful. I'm just, you know.
Okay. I know, but it's called
exposure therapy.
Trust me. I've done exposure.
You need to look at these numbers right now and accept
them. Shout out
them.
To my exposure therapy heads out
there. Yeah.
Majority of 2016. No, it's true, though, because it's like, and the ugly, the new ugly, which I am like, one of my enemies made a wiki
feeds fucking
account.
Around.
Yeah, because that's what bumped me back down nice. From beautiful.
All right, well, this is what we're going to do. You know what we're going to do? Zeitgang, go to wikifeed.com.
Create
an account. Go to Jamie's page and upvote the shit out of her. Get her back to beautiful.
Get me back to beautiful. But
even though them shits are ugly, self-admittedly.
It is straight up, I have hobbit feet. It's not. It's actually.
Wait, are there pictures of your feet? Like, how does, I don't know how wikifeet works.
Would be, right? If you were a celebrity.
Yeah, but I'm not. So there is one super deluxe video I made once where you can see my feet, and my feet are very dirty in the thing. It's just like, we had been walking around barefoot all day, and so there's like, whew. That'll do it every time.
But you were a dancer, right?
I was a dancer.
So is that why your feet look like they're throwing up gang signs?
That's why. There's lots of curled, gnarled.
Yeah, yeah,
you can
yeah.
tell, you're like, oh, this isn't the first iteration of this toenail.
This is version 3.5.
A lot of reboots of toenails lurking around on the feet.
Jamie, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, hold on. Anna just pointed out, it says, people who liked Jamie Loftus' feet also liked Jennifer Garner, AJ Cook, Hilary Duff, Marguerite Moreau, and Ariana Grande.
That
you know
is
what?
Great
That's
company to
good.
Be in. Yeah.
I would prefer some intellectuals. Throw in Maya Angelou, who does have a page.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Anyways, you know, surf away.
This is how we're going to get you in a Tarantino movie.
Oh, my God. It's the easiest way. Because
you know he loves the feet. Yeah,
you just
got to
bait him. You just got to bait him. God, what a cut.
Yeah, like, go for the anti-foot, Tarantino. Stop highlighting the beautiful feet women.
Yeah, start looking at some really
real feet.
Gnarled up, stinky feet, please. Thank you.
What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated, unfortunately, also because the last time I was here, I talked about how much I love A Series of Unfortunate Events. Have since seen the new season of the show.
No.
Not good. I don't think that there is like a more poorly casted television show currently running. It is crazy how like all the casting on that show is straight up bad. And I'm also salty because Allison Williams got cast in my dream part for when I was a tiny little child.
Oh. She's just getting all the parts.
She, you
fucking
know.
Fucking Peter Pan.
You know,
motherfucking
like,
Get Out.
Oh, you're someone's daughter. I'll fight her.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone is someone's daughter.
I can't tell if she's really good at playing somebody who is really hateable or if she's really hateable.
I wonder what she is actually like, because maybe she is just like capitalizing on being hard to be around.
I have a question, Jamie.
Yes.
And this is going to be hard for our audience to know. I'm looking at your keyboard. How much Cheeto dust is on your computer keyboard right now? It looks like all pirate's booty dust.
Excuse me. I have, I would say shotgunned 3 bags of pirate booty since I entered the building.
And you're flying.
That's a current dust.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I'm going to take a picture. I have to, Yami Lofty.
Okay,
just so
I'm
going to
lean in.
Hey, we keep referencing your last appearance.
Yeah.
I spoke to my mom over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And she, you know, she listens to our show, and she specifically called out your episode. She said, I really liked the episode with J-Loaf. And
wow.
I was like, you know, That was the same young woman who was at the live show that you came to. She only came to one of my live shows at Cracked.
I met your mom.
Yeah, you met my mom, and you talked the entire set about coming during Frasier. And I was like, about how Frasier and Niles make you come. And
it's true.
That, like, I got halfway through the sentence, like, to remind my mom of that. I was like, oh, she was from the live show. You met her. She's the one who talked about, and then I remembered that you talked about just
coming to Frasier.
Coming to Frasier.
Flicking remember,
the bean to
Mom?
Frasier.
Yeah. I finished it with full confidence. I didn't shy away. But
we
anyways,
digress.
You've got a big fan in Philadelphia.
And I'm glad the Harry Potter fans out there, because they were upset at you.
They
you
were
know
upset.
What I mean? They came for you. Someone canceled you. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. If you met her, you would understand her.
I understand that Harry Potter is something that's important to people. It's not my fave, but now I'm fully humbled right now, because season two, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Neil Patrick Harris needs to chill out. Like, you can't sing in every show, bitch. You can't.
Oh, you dare him.
Wow.
Literally, I know, like, don't cast him in a part where he's supposed to play a villain. He's like, but I need to sing in a carnival. Like, you can't just sing in a carnival every single time.
That's what
Someone
you
needs
said.
To sit him down and just be like, Neil, you're so talented. We love you. You can't just tap dance during the villain scene. You can't.
This is a talent intervention.
Right. Yes, the talent intervention.
Jamie, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Okay, here's a myth.
That a pirate's booty dust can damage your keyboard.
It absolutely can. I think this is several years worth of pirate's booty dust.
I tried blowing it off. It's all fixed onto the computer. Sorry. Go on.
This is, I've been fully shamed the entirety.
No. I just love it.
So my myth that I was not able to bust is you can defeat the IOC. So as of today, you know, it's important to know when you have been.
You know when you've been bested.
Yeah. So the IOC basically is responsible for my Twitter account of 10 years being taken away at Hamburger Phone, rest in paradise. I would just, if it's okay, I would like to just say a few words about
Yes, that's fine. Is this a eulogy for your Twitter?
A brief eulogy.
Okay.
I did
one of the
look,
best out there.
Thank you. And I started a new Twitter today.
And you guys can find that out at the end of the show.
Right. Yeah, you're going
to stick around to figure out.
Tease local news anchor.
And we'll have that after local, whatever. Go on.
But you do, like, when you, like, form your identity on social media.
Yeah.
Hamburger Phone. I got the handle when I was 14 years old, immediately after seeing the movie Juno. Mm-hmm. And that is the bright side of all of this, is my Twitter handle is no longer a reference to Juno. That is something we can all cheer for. But some things that happened with this Twitter. I crunched the numbers. I met or got to know better half of my sexual partners via this Twitter account.
Uh-huh.
I got jobs based on this Twitter account. I lost both a job at a hot dog stand for tweeting, fuck hot dogs.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yo.
And my boss found it and was just like, you don't seem passionate about the position. And therefore, you are fired. And then I also
What do we
lost...
say? You have to wear the hat at Hot Dog on a Stick, Jamie.
Right. What did they think? Your fucking,
is that a fucking
handle
hot dog
is thing? Hamburger phone, not hot dog phone.
Right. I'm just like, I'm just trying to stay loyal to my brand. They didn't understand.
Right.
And then I also got fired from the Boston Globe from that Twitter account. So
did you really?
I did, yeah. Wow.
Why? What'd you say?
In 2015, I tweeted, when I do well at an open mic, I come so hard I bleed. And I was working as a reporter at a major newspaper. I did get fired.
Well, look, they got to know that's your style. You're open. You're who you are.
Yeah.
Facts are facts, Boston Globe.
Exactly.
Yeah, fact check that. You can't fact check that because it's, well, you can, and it was true.
Right. So. Jamie's a great writer, so
yeah,
that's what she was doing.
That's
working
their fucking
Boston
loss.
Globe.
That's why
that
you
is
don't
their
get.
Loss.
Wow.
And why don't you just share your Twitter handle?
Yeah, my new Twitter handle is Jamie Loftus Help.
Jamie Loftus.
I think we should
help.
Bleep that out so people will listen to the end of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just fucking around. Yeah, but that's true.
All
you,
caps,
you went
baby.
Up against the International Olympic Committee.
Honestly.
And they got you.
There is no more evil organization that you could create like a feud with than the International Olympic Committee. They are the worst. They are corrupt.
I'm basically Tonya Harding.
You are.
You know who else
you're
was
Tonya
bested
Harding,
by the
except
IOC?
You are innocent.
I'm
surprised you didn't do a
I'm digital Tanya Harding.
You're digital.
Dude, that should have been your handle.
God, damn it. No. Jamie loved his help.
Because if you think about it, right, your past, you know, film obsession was Juno. And yes. Now it is now I, Tanya.
I tried. I was like, I, Jamie Loftus. Is that a good Twitter handle? Oh, no.
It's just kind of confusing.
It looks scary. Jamie Loftus help. That's where you can find all this shit from now on.
Boom. And let's get into stories, guys. We're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now. And I wanted to start out talking about the Mueller investigation because we talked about this story that broke in the Washington Post a few days back, the one that said that Trump is not a target of a criminal investigation. He is a subject.
Right.
So he's like somehow involved. He's not a witness, which is the most innocent sort of way you can be involved in an investigation. But he's also not the target. And the immediate reaction to that among sort of the mainstream media, for the most part, was that, oh, Mueller is sort of slow rolling this, trying to, you know, draw Trump into a interview. And that is what, that's what we reported. We were like, yeah, so that must be what it is. But the more you think about it, and I actually read an article on The Hill from a law professor at, I think, George Washington, who I thought for a second, like after I read it, I was like, oh, this must be a Fox News talking head, because he was like, when is the media going to accept that Trump is not a criminal target, that like the Mueller investigation might not go the way they think it's going to go? He might not get caught up in this thing. And, you know, I looked this guy up. I was expecting him to be like Sean Hannity's main legal expert, but he is just a liberal law school person that I guess he has written some weird problematic stuff, Miles, you were pointing out.
It is another weird blog post, but I mean, I get the article is written pretty, you know, apolitically, of just sort of like trying to look, there's not a lot adding up so far. And this is the thing, I think, even since the beginning, like whenever, you know, when we've talked about should we talk about this thing and the Mueller thing or not, like we've always kind of just said on and off mic that it's like this. A lot of people are putting a lot of their eggs in the basket because this is like the one logical thing that could bring a conclusion that people would want.
Right.
In terms of like some kind of karmic justice.
And also kind of invalidate 2016, which
right.
people are still, that's like a wound that
yeah.
people are still, you know, dealing with.
Right. So I get what the point he's making of just sort of like, yeah, because, you know, he brings up a lot of points, like people on CNN were just like, oh man, he's totally fucked or whatever. And yeah, and even yesterday we were, or whenever that was, maybe the day before, I don't know, time's a blur, that, you know, we were saying you can go from a subject to a target to
right.
a
and that's
full
still
on.
The case.
That's still the case.
But that's
for
not
sure.
the main takeaway. That shouldn't be your first instinct.
No.
And like there were no stories in the immediate aftermath of this revelation in the Washington Post or in the New York Times that said what this guy was saying, which is this is really good news for Trump. This seems to suggest, okay, if they had said he was a subject but not a target, like when the investigation was starting, that wouldn't have been like a good or a bad thing because, you know, but he's been investigating him for like over a year now, and he still hasn't found anything that immediately ties him to the crime. That's not to say that he didn't commit a crime, and there's certainly a lot of smoke there, but it just might be that they aren't going to be able to find the evidence.
Right. Or it's just a bunch of people around him were doing the crimes.
Right.
You know.
I feel like it is like at this point, the Mueller investigation does sort of feel like when you're like trying to like undo a breakup or something, you're like, well, maybe if this happens,
right.
it'll work. And then it's like that doesn't work. You're like, well, maybe if I do this, this will work. And it's been going on for so long. It's like,
right.
I mean, not that we should just accept that Trump is, I mean, absolutely not. But it does seem like, you know, every time there's a new thing, it's like, oh, we're kind of grasping at a straw there. And then that doesn't go through. And then it's another thing.
Yeah. I mean, the sexiest thing has been like indictments of people like Paul Manafort. But like even the Russians were like, whatever. Those are people that they just found for like fraud and other things like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's hard to speculate either direction, right? Like, there's not enough for you to be like, oh, well, nothing, like guys, come off it.
Yeah.
And there's also not enough also to be just nutting yourself when you're like, oh, dude, fucking, this guy's indicted the fucking. So, yeah, I think it really all depends on how you look. I'm just so hesitant because this dude, Like, honestly, I don't know what will stick to this guy that will get even the Republicans in the House to say, like, even a bad thing about him. Right. So, regardless of this, if you really want to go to sleep at night and give yourself a North Star to live by, focus on the midterms.
Right.
And just work on just taking back the fucking House and the Senate. Like, that's really how you're going to curb his power.
Human beings can actually do stuff.
Yeah, because Bobby Digital is not going to come through and be like, oh, get out of here, Donald Trump. Oh. That was my RZA impersonation, by the way.
Bobby Digital. Very. It would have been another great Twitter handle.
When the RZA switched to Bobby Digital for that one album.
Right.
What about Bobby Mueller or?
Bobby Moynihan.
Okay. Mary fuck kill.
Okay.
Bobby Moynihan. Uh-huh. Bobby Mueller. Mm-hmm. Bobby Durst.
Oh, Robert
Mary
Durst.
Fuck kill. Mary fuck kill.
I know you want to marry Robert Durst.
I want to marry Robert
Durst. Because
that
was a handle I think you were exploring,
right? Jamie Loftus Durst is too long, unfortunately.
Or Durst Wife 3, I think is the
Durst
other
Wife 3 would have been a dope one.
I will say that, yes, I would marry Robert Durst. Okay, moving on.
Well, just because I want to die. Just because I'm looking to die.
An efficient way to go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to talk a little bit about a couple guys who I thought were the same person up until maybe last week. Mm. Scott Pruitt and Ryan Zinke, mm-hmm. for some reason, I was just like, they have the same sort of, their names don't sound alike, but their names are the same like level of weirdness. I don't know. For some reason,
Scott and a guy named Ryan is weird.
They just, no. Like they're They're very normal.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Their first names are very normal. Their last names are the same sort of like, 50% weird. Okay, anyways, that's
like
my theory on why.
I like this rating system.
Can you sort of diagram
Jamie,
this
rubric? You are 45% weird. Mild, no.
I like it. What about Jamie Loftus Durst? How does that change the equation?
your new handle, you're 45%
you're
weird.
You're edging up. No, but I don't know why I thought they were the same person.
Because they're both shit bags and they're department secretaries.
But so we wanted to talk about them separately because they are both in the news for being, as Miles puts it, God Scam God.
I would say Scott Pruitt, a.k.a. God Scam God, deep cut reference to the Providence basketball player God Sham God with a sick crossover.
Yeah. Wow.
Boy, let me tell you about the Sham God. Made you go Sham Wow.
The decision to name your son God when your last name is Sham God is fucking amazing.
But also a sham? Inspired. Like you're a Sham God.
You're right.
Scam God.
Well, no,
anyway.
He is God and all other gods are sham gods.
Reminds me of my ex-boyfriend Scam Likely.
Oh, Scam Likely. Scamuel Likely.
Scamuel. Yeah. Well, and his evil twin Scamron.
Scamron Likelington.
Scamron Likeling.
So yeah, Scott Pruitt basically is on some next level kleptocrat shit. So we're talking about the swamp. Last week, I think we talked about his quote unquote living arrangement, because he was like living at a condo that a lobbyist's wife owned.
So what is his job, Miles?
He is the head of the EPA. So
the environmental
he's about protecting the environment.
Okay.
The EPA, the villain of the first Ghostbusters movie.
Thank you.
Yes.
He is basically that guy.
Better than us.
Yes. So basically, yes, he watches over a lot of chemical people, energy industry people, just to make sure that the environment is not being completely destroyed. So cut to, we already knew he was getting like $50 a night Airbnb style thing at this lobbyist's wife's condo. Then we find out that there were parties being thrown and like fundraisers at this condo he was staying in with like other energy lobbyists and other like politicians and shit. And like the whole defense was sort of like, well, I just rent the bedroom. So if something's going down the rest of the house, I don't know. I just rent the room. So
while he lived there for $50 a night in this enormous like palatial place, there were lobbyist parties being thrown.
Yeah,
that's like a very Jersey Shore mentality living in a house.
Yeah, just having the parties. So so they were saying there's a few fundraisers going on. He was just saying, look, bro, I just rent the joint. You know what I mean? So then we find out also that the lobbyist whose wife owns the building had a huge project basically approved sort of by the EPA. So one of this lobbyist clients was under the Obama administration fined $61 million for spilling like thousands of gallons of oil into the Kalamazoo River.
Whoopsies. Right.
And they were like,
that's what you say before you do that.
Ooh, oh, sorry, didn't know. JK, LOL, JK. So then when they had this next project, the EPA had to kind of sign off and be like, oh, these guys, like, they know what they're doing. And he just, without even referencing the fact that they completely fucked up, he was just like, oh, yeah, they're great. Good to go. So, who knows? Man, maybe that's pay for play. I don't know. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Then the scam started heating up. Okay.
The scam likely.
We already knew he was taking first class and business class flights because he was saying that when he flies like coach or whatever, are people just mean to him because he's destroying the fucking earth? So he was like, I can't deal with pores because they're like pointing out my fuckery.
Right.
So that's why that was sort of the basis of his argument is like, that's why I have to fly first.
That does suggest that people who can't afford first class are just naturally more violent people.
Of course. Yes. Poor people are crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and also someone who just can't confront his own bullshit. Right. So then this shit comes up with two of his aides that when he was in Oklahoma that he brought with him to DC when he became the head of the EPA. One woman, Sarah Greenwalt, she's 30 and was his legal counsel. She's only making a paltry $107,000 a year.
Oh, my God.
Then his another aide, this woman, Milan Hupp, she's 26. And, I mean, I don't think any 26-year-old should have to live off of just a meager $86,000 a year.
Right.
No.
So he was like, you know what? Y'all need some fucking raises. He's like 50% and 30% respectively. So he goes to that presidential personnel office we talked about where everybody's just vaping all the time.
Right.
Because that's where he had to go to get like, there's like the HR to get the raise.
We should, for anybody who missed that episode.
I think that's Friday's episode.
Yeah. There is an office in the White House where they basically, it's supposed to be in charge of personnel and like hiring and all that stuff. But they basically use it to stow nepotistic appointments and, you know, like the dumb kid who you had to give a job.
Right.
And they...
Are there
like
cages? Like, how did this...
No, there's mad couches.
Washington Post or some actual journalistic entity went and they were like, yeah, it's just a bunch of kids like vaping in the White House.
But the way they wrote it is like smoking e-cigarettes or vaping.
Right.
So they're vaping. So they said, no, you're not getting this fucking raise.
Right.
So
they were like,
bro, that's a lot of money.
I mean, does 50% even keep up with inflation?
No, right? So this guy is such a fucking next level scammer. He found a loophole in the Safe Drinking Water Act that allows an EPA administrator to hire up to 30 people in the agency without White House or congressional approval. So Mr. Pruitt just shifted those limits over to that so he could grant these insane raises. So now Sarah Greenwalt, who's the general legal counsel for him, $164,000. And Milan, who's 26, she's making $116,000 now. So shout out to you, great boss. Also, Jack, where's my fucking raise? What's crazy is like this woman who's a legal counsel, she's like making more than like lifers at the administration, who's like the EPA's general counsel. And also the other woman who's like the scheduler, she's making like way more money than most people who have been there since the Obama administration. So people are fucking hot.
Right.
And not to mention, he also like is making like lobbyists from like certain industries, like the people who are overseeing the regulations. So he appointed a chemical industry lobbyist to be the deputy head of the Office of Chemical Safety.
Right.
And
this
cool
is the whole way that all of the bureaucracies under Trump are working. The people who are supposed to be regulating different industries are actually, they're hiring people from those industries who in the past have been in charge of fighting those departments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and this is going to cause people to die in the future because, you know, chemicals are going to get into our water supply. How people die.
Hey, but I'm 26 and I need me 100,000, bro.
Right.
So that's how I'm thinking.
Yeah, in my defense, I would love $100,000. So right. I can't wait until that argument goes to court. It's like, well, to be fair, I love money.
Right.
So.
Is that bad? So here's the funny part.
Is that bad?
So Scott Pruitt had to go on Fox News to do a little interview because they're like, bro, it's getting a little hot. And like over the weekend, Trump was like, no, like we support you. But as these scandals come out, it's getting much and much more hairy for him. So he goes on Fox, which you think is like the home team.
Right, softball.
Yeah. It's a layup, bro. It's a fucking dunk.
It's a fucking grand slam.
It's a windmill jam, daddy.
Fave meal.
Suffice it to say, shit did not go that well for him on Fox. So peep this little bit of interview.
If you're committed to the Trump agenda, why did you go around the president and the White House to give pay raises to two staffers?
I did not. My staff did, and I found out about that yesterday, and I changed it.
So somebody being fired for that?
That should not have been done. And
who did it?
It may be there would be some accountability.
A career person or a political person?
I'll have to. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know. You run the agency. You don't know who did
it. I found out about this yesterday, and I corrected the action. So, and we are in the process of finding out how it took place and correcting
it. So hang on.
Forward.
Both of these staffers who got these large pay raises are friends of yours, I believe, from Oklahoma, right?
They are staffers here in the agency.
Then they're from Oklahoma. They're friends of yours.
Well, they serve a very important person.
And you didn't know that they got these large pay raises?
I did not know that they got the pay raises until yesterday.
Okay, one of them got a pay raise of, let's see, $28,000. The other was $56,000. Do you know what the median income in this country is?
No, what?
$57,000 a year.
Okay. Whoa!
So one of your friends from Oklahoma got a pay raise. That's the medium income.
They did not get a pay raise. They did not get a pay raise.
They did.
No, they did not. They did not. I stopped that yesterday.
So you stopped it. Yeah. But are you embarrassed that
it should
you
not
run
have
this
happened? It should not have happened.
President Trump said he would drain the swamp.
I don't.
Look, is draining the swamp renting an apartment from the wife of a Washington lobbyist?
I don't think that that's even remotely fair to ask that question.
ExxonMobil is a client.
Look at you,
Mr. Hart.
ExxonMobil have business before you, sir?
Mr. Hart has no clients that has business before this agency.
ExxonMobil has no
business. His firm, he's a member of a law firm. To take his relationship and extend
You're not answering the question. You said some pretty tough stuff. You said about the president, quote, this is in 2016, I think he's an empty vessel when it comes to things like the Constitution and rule of law. You said that about Donald Trump.
In February of 2016, and I will tell you, as I said here today, as I've walked with him and served him, I didn't know the president at that time.
So why did you say something like that?
I had not served him at that time, and
you
I will tell
you.
And I will tell you that. Look, I was misinformed.
Have you made mistakes?
I think this is something that needs to be corrected.
And
it was
a mistake.
It was a mistake by my team.
By your team. So do you take responsibility?
I'm fixing it.
Do you take responsibility?
I'm fixing the problem.
Wow.
In his defense, he's never made a mistake.
Dude, I couldn't believe how... He sounded like one of those dudes on Cops who like is in a stolen car and like just like out of his head. And then they're like, I don't know. I mean, I think I borrowed the car from a friend.
Driving the car? I don't know.
Yeah, we
pulled you over. You were the
he's not doing too well. And that's... I was really impressed with Ed Henry, whoever the fuck that was at Fox. It was like pressing him. But again, I think...
At the same time...
Yeah, we all know why, though.
I think this just means that he's on the outs with the Trump administration, and so Trump kind of gave them the green light to just fuck with this guy.
Yeah, rip his head off in front of everyone.
Right.
Because I think it's easier for Fox to seem like objective when they go after people that are not Trump and who are clearly they can just be like, oh, this is bullshit, this is bullshit, this is bullshit. Right. And, you know, but let's ignore what's really going on.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, Fox are bullies. And so when somebody is losing
power. No, the
power,
Parkland teenagers are bullies.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Jack.
Behind them. Yeah.
Emma
Gonzalez is clearly the biggest bully.
Oh, my God.
But then Fox.
Certainly not an icon.
And when they sense weakness, when they see that somebody is, you know, down in terms of like power in the White House and in terms of esteem in Trump's eyes, they're going to just fucking go in for the kill. It's why they and Trump get along so well. They have like the exact same sort of logic.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about this other guy who apparently is not the same person as the guy we were just talking about, Ryan Zinke.
Yeah.
So he is Secretary of the Interior.
Yeah, Department of Interior. Yeah.
Okay.
DOI.
What is that?
Okay, so, you know, they look after everything, like the federal lands, our fucking parks.
Interior, like inside.
Interior decorating.
Got it.
So,
okay.
Mid-century modern, Bauhaus, whatever.
No. I thought that was Ben Carson.
No. No.
Wait, he's not doing interior decorating anymore?
Not anymore.
Buddy.
I mean, Zinke had, I think he bought like a $13,000 door or something.
Uh-huh.
But he got in trouble for some weird shit like that. Yeah. Anyway.
He's also the one who puts the flag up every time he's in, right?
I believe that's him. Yeah. So you know that the king is in the house, the Zinke is in the house. Yeah. So
I hope he has like a fanfare that like plays trumpets whenever he enters the room.
Maybe it's the horn line from Spodeody Dopealicious.
that would be fucking dope, man.
That would be dope and upsetting at the same time to have such an amazing song and then just for this shit bag to walk into work. So, yes. He looks after basically all of the federal land. You know, he was the guy who opened up a lot of the national parks for, you know, development and things like that. And people were really pissed off. And like we talked about that a little bit on the show. So recently we find out that at the interior, he did like a huge reshuffle. And it turned out a third of these people that were shuffled around were Native American. And Native Americans make up less than 10% of the department's workforce.
And they do because there is a quota saying that they need to hire.
About diversity, yes. And also because these people understand the tribal lands and things like that.
Right.
Like,
it just makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about the lands of this country, and this is something that we need everyone's opinion on.
You can't have just one perspective there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Course.
You can't just have like crazy racist Ryan Zinke.
But that was not Ryan Zinke hiring those people based on his own judgment. That is something he came into, right?
Yeah. These are people who were there already.
Now, just to refresh my memory, haven't we shown a clip of Ryan Zinke before?
We didn't show a clip.
Because this is an audio medium.
This is an audio medium. Okay, so, but we talked about that. What there was a clip. I guess just to show you sort of where this sort of person is culturally, his cultural sensitivity. Right. Colleen Hanabusa, who's like a fourth generation Japanese congressperson from Hawaii, was asking him about funding for like educational sites that are under his purview as the Secretary of the Department of Interior, about funding these sites that help educate Americans on Japanese internment.
Mm-hmm.
So as she's asking this, he has a really cool response because she's Japanese and she's asking about Japanese internment. He figures, let me swag on you a little bit.
Are you committed to continue the grant programs that are identified, I believe, as the Japanese American Confinement Sites Grants Program, which were funded in 2017? Will we see it funded again in 2018?
Oh, konnichiwa.
That's real.
I think it's still Ohayo gozaimasu, but that's okay.
But
woo!
But
motherfucker said konnichiwa.
The response. That's
that was his response.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Konnichiwa.
Are you committed to reminding people about the Japanese internment? Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. For real. That's like.
That was not cut together. That
no.
is his response.
And that pause was
time?
Also.
Yes.
Yeah. The pause is also her going like, first she has to take it in and then she's like, it's actually Ohayo gozaimasu because it's still the morning, motherfucker.
Right.
So, and he was like, oh, okay, I guess it's after 10.
That doesn't, just
that's
like,
still the morning, you fucking dick. So,
still.
T-shirt gunning salt into a wound. That's insane.
Yeah.
That is, it's also worth watching the clip for the, I said this before, but there's a woman in the audience behind him who just like her mouth opens like after he says it and she's just like, he can't.
Say that
right? Like yeah. This is so, the worst thing anyone's ever said.
That's
right?
Literally an Arrested and Development scene. Right. That's right. Crazy.
And that woman's jaw drops. And it's funny when people pressed him about it. He was like, "I don't see what's." I was like, "I don't have a reason to apologize." What do you mean? Well, I said good morning. And like they were like, "Oh, bro, okay."
It's just like what a racist like fifth grader would say when like a Japanese person like. Speaks
yeah.
to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Bananas.
Yeah. So this is who we're dealing with. Also, this man, I think, spent like $53,000 on helicopter rides and said he was like just checking out like the landscape to make sure shit was all good. And I was just taking a fucking helicopter ride. And also, I think the town he's from got that crazy $300 million power contract after Hurricane Maria.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So there was a small company that like barely existed. It only had 3 employees. When Hurricane Maria made landfall in Puerto Rico, and he awarded them the contract to restructure or like rebuild the Puerto Rican infrastructure.
Yeah, and that was a huge scam god, sham god.
Right.
Sham god.
So,
sham wow, sham god.
So now, so he's reshuffled all these Native Americans and also like Black and Hispanic employees, also women. I wonder why. Well, let's look at this for one reason why it was the Native American employees. These people are basically sort of the sole internal opposing voice when it comes to like this scheme that he's trying to open up more tribal land to the fossil fuel industry. And they're like, nah, bro, we don't need people digging for resources on our tribal land. We already have enough going on and enough problems that this government is ignoring. It's just a very odd look because, you know, it's going to be very hard for him to spin this decision to look like anything but the fact that he was doing this because it was racially and politically motivated. Mm. But, you know, it also makes sense, too, because he was so fucking excited, like backed Trump's budget because it also like cut a lot of funding for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And it's just sort of, you know, indicative of sort of the general situation there. Like it's terribly understaffed, too. So, you know, shout out to Ryan Zinke.
Yeah, he's just real quick. The town that Ryan Zinke and that power company are from is Whitefish, Montana, which is home to a Fash Wave hero.
Richard Spencer?
Richard Spencer, yeah.
Oh, and cool, yeah.
Of course Richard Spencer's from a town called Whitefish.
I know, exactly.
But you know what? Shame on that. That's my favorite deli thing, too. I love whitefish salad. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a really hard spot here. Shout out to...
Thank you for speaking your truth.
Shout out to Russ and Daughter's Great Rough... Well, whitefish salad. Also, Bethesda Bagels. Great whitefish salad.
Can I shout out some fish as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'd like to shout out the discontinued at Uno's Moby Fish sandwich, which was... A pile of haddock on old bread.
terrible.
Used to love it. Slather it in whatever sauce you want.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Oh,
and
sorry.
We're back.
Nope, sorry.
So we wanted to talk about Facebook because this is an evolving story. We thought we were just going to get to leave it in the past with the Cambridge Analytica hack. But it turns out that number just keeps going up. It used to be 50 million. Now we're at 87 million people who were given access.
How big is the next jump going to be? 2 billion?
Well, so they are also saying that 2 billion people's information have been compromised. Like, basically everyone. All the information has been compromised. So, yeah, that's cool. Not good. Yeah, there's also people saying that they played a role in an honest-to-God genocide in Myanmar.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people who were trying to get the Rohingya out of Myanmar were using Facebook to just, you know, stoke the flames of hatred and shit and incite people. And like,
just nice to hear someone's using Facebook.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so they're in a fucking terrible place right now between Cambridge Analytica and then, like, having even tangentially being connected to this shit in Myanmar is a terrible look, to say the least.
So now they're coming out and giving us access to the information they've had about us all along. And it's some of the stuff is interesting, but I haven't been very impressed. I also haven't really used Facebook, never really used it because... Once it like started being,
because I don't
thing,
understand it,
because it's just too complicated for me. I still just use Hotmail.
I went. Well, I'm curious. I've been like edging. I've been edging.
Oh, you're edging.
I've been edging off using Facebook for like the past 3 to 4 months. There wasn't anything in particular that motivated it, but I just have found myself using it less and less to the point where I posted the other day and I was like, oh, I haven't said anything on this MF thing in like a week.
It's weird. I used to give a fuck about people on my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
And I think after a while, I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, you're married.
And I think it's easier to be off Facebook now, too, because it has just such a horrendous rep.
Right.
The information that was presented to me just lost its luster. Like, in the beginning, it was cool to be like, oh, shit, that dude I went to preschool with is, like, a referee now or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just dumb shit like that.
Yeah, and then that's a pretty cool job.
No, right. But then, like, as those sort of those blanks get filled in, I'm like, all right, whatever. Fuck it. Everyone has a life. And the sort of novelty was, like, the novelty for
their
me
lives
was.
Aren't as exciting as.
Yeah, was reconnecting with people that, like, I hadn't seen in years. And once I know, okay, y'all are fine. Great.
Well, it's just like, everyone's racist.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
so
feeling
there's
too
that.
Good about their mental health.
There's that.
Where it's at now.
It is kind of like a place where I always go back to check to see if any of my friends from growing up have
died.
Like, had opioid issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That seems to be a thing that's happening in a lot of places that I used to live. So
the thing is, so because of that, you're talking about the categories, right? You're saying the information.
I was looking at my categories.
So categories.
I'm very liberal, apparently.
Right.
Wow.
Well, there's
liberal.
Everybody listening, you can actually find out what buckets you're in according to Facebook's ad algorithm. So all you got to do is go to your settings, right?
Yeah, or just Google how to find out what Facebook knows about me. And there are like 90 articles.
Oh, right. But I'm saying if you want to see personally like what your own information is, and then go to ad preferences, then go to your information, and then go to categories, your categories, and it'll tell you like, for me, I've used it so little, the only things they know about me is I'm liberal, I use an iPhone on a 4G network, and I have Gmail.
Right. Yeah, I don't have much either.
But if you use it, it will like tell you like, oh, you probably have roommates or you know expats or you speak these languages. Yeah.
Yeah. Close friends of expats, which isn't really even true about me. They also say that I'm a housemate based household, which would suggest that I have roommates, but I live with my wife and kids. So that's
they're like roommates.
Wow. I love that show.
My wife and kids, the best.
Shout out to Damon Wayans.
My information?
Yep, your information.
My information.
And then your category. So, Jamie, what? Ooh. How do they know you?
Whoa. Close friends of women with a birthday in 7 to 30 days.
Uh-oh.
Close friends of people with birthdays in a week. Birthday in August, away from family.
See?
Management? 4G network. Away from hometown. Very liberal. MSN.com email users.
Oh, no. You have MSN.com email?
Yeah, if anyone wants to shoot me an email to poetrypunk18@msn.com, I will never read it. It's like junior
high. Hey, so also, Zeitgang, look at your categories, and if there's any, like, super crazy ones, let us know.
Yeah, the weirdest thing, anything you're, like, really impressed about, too. Like, wow, I can't believe they knew that. I'd love to hear about that. But in addition to becoming less cool with consumers and Jamie in particular, it is also becoming less cool to work for Facebook in Silicon Valley. And that's becoming a concern for Facebook.
Interesting.
Is that he's like Zuckerberg is having to apologize to his engineers, which are like a very hotly competed over commodity, engineering talent.
Yeah.
It used to be really cool to work for Facebook, and now they're having to like come home and be like, honey, I work for Facebook. You know, it's just like not a cool thing to work. And if you can't recruit top engineering talent, like that is a big hit.
Then
for
who
your
is
company.
You?
So that's an issue. Zuckerberg just did a call with, I think, the media and shareholders where he was getting a lot of questions about whether he should even be running the business anymore.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of tech people who are like in the know are just like, this is kind of a hopeless situation. This dude, Tim Wu, who's a scholar and inventor of the term net neutrality.
Okay, he might know some.
He basically says that there's no way that we can resolve. Like, Facebook was built and has existed to exploit our personal information, to sell it to companies,
right,
and to like use it. And, you know, even if they're going to be more careful about guarding it, like, it's never going to be good for us. It's never, like, they are a business built on selling you. And he's saying that the only way to salvage this situation is for there to be a new social media, social network that is created, like, on the Wikipedia model or on a model where people pay, like, 99 cents a month to...
And the basis is, like, privacy, but connecting.
Right.
But we're not trying to...
The stuff that you like from Facebook, but, you know, none of the shit that is becoming just a huge, huge problem.
Oh, look at you, old motherfuckerberg. Can't get it together. I mean, I don't feel bad for him. You know, like, it's crazy because, like, on the call he was like,
I feel bad for the third richest human being.
No, no. Even when he has to be like, I'm the only guy who can do this. Like, bruh, you actually created a fucking monster and you don't know how to deal with it. And you're still trying to act like it can be, like, resolved. Pandora's box has been blown open.
Like he was saying, purpose for existing. And I think that kind of applies to all social media in general. So, you know, anytime you see one of these companies start to... IPO or talk about, you know, what their value is, they're talking about how they're going to turn a profit using advertising. And so, I don't know, it could go in a bunch of different directions, but if it is to address, you know, the problems that we're talking about, we would have to see just a complete sea change where social media is nothing like it is today.
Yeah, because because motherfuckerberg doesn't have all that money because everybody was mad poking each other, and that's how the fucking the dollars came in. No, he was packaging off all this information. And
right, he was selling you.
Yeah, selling us out.
Yep.
Shouts out to all my Winkle friends. My
Winkle
heads.
Oh, yeah, you've
heads.
Always been Team Winklevi.
Team Winklevoss. Yeah, I'm waiting for the Winklevosses to figure out I'm their triplet.
Oh, yeah,
I'm the third Winklevoss.
And they'll break you off with some cryptocurrency, huh?
Yeah. Me and my twin boys. Triplets.
And I wanted to go out on a story. So Barbie apparently decided to be a little more woke and create some real-life female historical figures who you can, you know, cram into a hot pink convertible full of genitalless friends, and they released it on they released it on International Women's Day, and people are pointing out that so they released Amelia Earhart, Katherine Johnson, and Frida Kahlo, And Frida's unibrow is like not barely there. Visible.
Yeah, wait,
like,
really?
Yeah, yeah, they're like, well, let's pluck.
They're
those
like,
things.
We'll give her thick eyebrows,
like a thick brow,
and also like right. light eyes too. Like, thick why are you brow. Trying to right. like Euro her up? It's bullshit.
Jeez. Yeah, and it's also weird for there to be a Barbie version of like a socialist, like a
yeah, someone who's
capitalist,
like
corporate,
fucking
American
around with Trotsky
icon. Yeah, version of yeah. They should just create
memoirs.
A Trotsky. Yeah,
right.
Her Ken should be Trotsky.
Trotsky.
Yeah, because she did have an affair with him.
But now she's the face of commodified feminism.
Wait, did she really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I would write the hell out of that fanfic.
Well,
I'd write
well
a
here we go.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, give me a
put
day.
Santa
give me
University
hours.
To the side.
Also, Santa and, University was a Twitter handle that was available, and I had to abstain.
Well, that's good. It's better for your brand.
I mean, they'll need it for the feature film. Is
I right. would. I would probably get it. Create a new email so you can sit on that, because once that takes off, you're gonna want that. Because otherwise, I will,
that.
And then I'm gonna be like, "Hey, Jamie, it's $5,000 if you want to."
I hope that our friendship ends over
this. Over that, me finding out right now that Santa University is available, and then exploiting that.
Yes.
But yeah, Frida Kahlo. It's weird because. The Mattel was saying like, oh, well, we talked with her family and or like the Frida Kahlo Corp based in Panama and was saying like, oh, well, we have the support of the Kahlo family. And it turns out that's not quite the case. But hey, gotta sell some more dollies.
Jamie, you were playing with a giant Barbie on Instagram this morning.
Thank you so much for bringing it up. I do a one-woman show where my size Barbie that I bought off Craigslist from a very sad-looking dad.
Oh, my God.
No. Wait, hold on. No, we have to know about this now.
Okay. I just knew I was going to need a my size Barbie at some point.
Right.
And so I saw one on Craigslist for like $20. I had to.
Is that a good price?
That's a good price.
For a used my size Barbie?
Well, because the thing
is... Or
is
it NIB, new in box?
It wasn't new in box. It was lightly used, like Hemingway lightly used, like who originally owned
right.
this, right?
Right, right,
but,
right.
But the thing is they don't make them as tall anymore. So I had to find an older one because they're
right.
3 feet tall and the current ones are 2.5. And I am performing simulated sex on this doll in my show for... upwards of an hour, so I needed a three-foot doll.
You need something on your level.
Yeah, it's mostly just I have the doll play my high school boyfriend, and then I lose my virginity
yes.
to the doll for an hour. So if you want to see pictures of me and Barbie with a little sausage attached to her,
mm-hmm.
Those pictures are available and on the web.
Wait, so when you went to go buy this thing, it was like just a sad dad being like, I got a Barbie for sale, and you showed up. Was he just sighing the whole time?
He had me meet him in the parking lot of a Toys R Us, which was a wild move. It was in the Valley. I brought a friend.
The one on Sherman
Craigslist.
Way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Shout out to the Sherman Way Toys R Us, RIP.
And so he had us meet him there, and I was like, what is the story? The Barbie was also wearing a wedding dress that clearly was... handmade. Like it wasn't
whoa
yeah it was not the one that she came in. It had this weird fabric. I was like, what has this man had sex with this doll? I pretty thoroughly cleaned the doll.
Wow.
I will say, but I don't know. I mean, it felt like a Hemingway
right
thing, like baby shoes
yeah.
never worn.
My size Barbie for sale, never worn.
Never.
Never simulated sex.
Never kissed.
Right.
Never married.
Well, all right. Jamie.
Yes.
As always, uh-huh. It's been lovely having you here. Where can people find you?
You can find me on twitter.com at Jamie Loftus Help.
Now, is that because like it, almost like it's the help page for you, or you're just asking for help?
It's a place where you can give me help, and
okay.
I can give you help if I have anything to give, which I don't.
Oh,
but
turns out.
But maybe someday if I do, the meaning of the help will change, and it'll be like Jamie Loftus is helpful.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Miles, what about you?
Sorry. What about me?
What about you? Just like what about you? Tell us about yourself.
What about Bob? Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the articles that we used as sources for today's information. Miles.
Yes.
What are we going
to
ride out on, man?
Oh, man. Well, you know, because Ryan Zinke was just, I got triggered and I was thinking Japanese people. I wanted to play this track by Can, the German band. They're like krautrock. Like, they're just ahead of their time. They had a Japanese lead singer. The story is very interesting. They needed a lead singer. They found this dude, Suzuki, busking on the streets. And they're like, hey, do you want to play in our band? And he's like, okay. He only knew like 3 guitar chords and just improvised all his lyrics. And then they started making some pretty good music. So this song is called Vitamin C by Can. Check it out, because this is a good entry point to the band Can for anybody who doesn't know.
When was the song recorded?
This shit was recorded in like 1970.
I know. I could not believe that. You were listening to it all day and I assumed it was contemporary.
It is not.
I like my jazz. Contemporary.
Oh, wow. Very smooth.
Very smooth.
Yeah, it was released in 1972, so that's crazy to think. I mean, it's dope.
Yeah, it's really good. Cool. Well, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
The corner, she is a living in a out of tune.